Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
.45 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors at 820. The sun has come up this morning on Nashville, Tennessee. The quarterback story is the big story this morning. Get to the, back to that short. We're going to have Jim Wyatt with us from Titans Online coming up later in the hour. Right now, always one of our favorite parts every week when we visit with Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. Tennessee and Alabama, late start Saturday night, 8 o'clock Central, right here on The Zone. Brent, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, guys. Hope y'all doing well.
We are. Any update on Brian Maurer? I know he had the concussion, but Pruitt said on Monday he was already getting in some practice work. What have you heard there?
Well, he has practiced. He practiced Sunday night, and he practiced yesterday afternoon. In the individual periods that we got to watch, we expect him to practice again today. I think he's going to be able to go. He will have to clear whatever the concussion protocol is, final testing a little bit later in the week to make sure his numbers within the range it's supposed to be in so that he can play. But there's certainly a belief that he's going to be able to go on Saturday and will be out there starting the game for Tennessee against Alabama. Nothing official at this point, but that's the kind of internal expectations of where they are right now.
Both sides up front played well against Mississippi State. Where has the offensive line improved the most, and how good does it have to feel for Trey Smith, who won Player of the Week in the SEC?
Well, I think the thing the offensive line is doing better probably or did better on Saturday, they eliminated the mental mistake. They didn't give up the blow-bys, so to speak. They didn't turn a guy loose and turn him free. They seemed to communicate well. Obviously, they're finishing blocks much better, and you know some of that's cost them 15 yards over the last few weeks, but you're seeing them play through the whistle, kind of pepper guys, as the coach like to say, down the field a little bit, playing with a much greater physical mentality. It's been a long time since Tennessee's been able to put the football down and line up and run it six straight times effectively, and they did that to close out that game on the final touchdown drive on Saturday. Put the ball down at the 9-yard line, and they drove to the Mississippi State 44-yard line on six consecutive running plays. It shows a lot of growth in that unit. They put a lot of work into that. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that unit grows moving forward, particularly as everybody gets back healthier. As for Trey Smith specifically, I think it's the best game he's played in the Tennessee uniform. I really do. I thought he was that dominant at times on Saturday.
How big of a loss is Trevon Flowers to that defense?
Well, I mean, I think he was coming on. You know, that's the guy who went out and was expected to be the starter at the start of the year, lost the job to Theo Jackson, got it back and started this past game, and obviously had the interception. But I don't think – I mean, I think Theo Jackson, who's leading the team in tackles, believe it or not, has actually played pretty well back there. They were going to split some time as long as Nigel Warrior continued to play well. But where it really hurts them is in depth. They're a sprained ankle away from being – pretty thin at the safety position and down to playing some freshmen who have only been on campus a few months. So it hurts them from a depth standpoint. They cannot afford another injury back there.
You know, Alabama is number one. We know what kind of offense they have. I heard Jeremy Pruitt, you know, talk about how they could probably score 100 some weeks if they wanted to. When you look at him facing, you know, this team, you know, where he's been before, how much of a unique understanding do you think he has of what they're really up against?
Well, I think he knows, the machine. He knows what they do, how this team, you know, they typically don't take any weeks off. I mean, you look at them, how many games have they unexpectedly lost or been victims to, you know, to an upset where they just failed to show. So I think what you know about them and what Jeremy Pruitt knows about them through his work with Nick Saban is there are no off weeks. They don't have down weeks where they just failed to show. So Tennessee knows they're going to show up on Saturday. It's a huge challenge because of what they have at the receiver position. They're as good as anybody, maybe better than anybody in college football. I think they're the best receiving corps in college football. Now, maybe some other places would argue with that. LSU's good. Clemson's good. But I think Alabama's receivers are unique in that all of them can catch an underneath route and take it to the end zone, or they can beat you over the top as well. They're really dynamic at the receiver position. Tackling in space, trying to limit some of those explosive plays are going to be a huge challenge because Jeremy Pruitt knows where Steve Sarkisian wants to attack. I think they'll try to attack Tennessee in the middle of the football field, particularly against those inside linebackers.
Our guest is Brent Hobbs. His website is ballquest.com.
Well, and also, by the way, you know, Nick Saban is undefeated versus his assistants, I think. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, nobody's beat. Yeah,
so that's not going to change. So he'll continue plowing through those people who, you know, are coaches that think they can duplicate what he does. Because you got to know that they know the defense and everything else,
well,
right?
I'll say this. I mean, Kirby Smart's had him on the ropes twice. Now, to beat him, you got to have the talent to line up and do that. The problem is many of those guys who are coming in who are his former coaches have taken over programs that weren't close to being capable of beating, you know, Alabama from a talent standpoint. But, I mean, Tennessee, nobody expects Tennessee to win this weekend. Certainly I don't. It's a monumental challenge because Tennessee does not have the Jimmys and Joes to line up with them. You're a couple of plays away from having that happen the last couple of years with Georgia, but give Alabama credit. They made the final play or two they had to make and go beat them.
Well, I'm so thankful that they won because the guy, Tyler, I guess the guy that was on the roof there at Toyota on the roof there, did you get a chance to meet him and talk to him, or did you know him?
I know who he is, yeah.
Well, yeah. Was he thankful, too, that he was off the roof?
I'm sure he was.
I would think so. He didn't have to stay very long. Certainly a lot shorter stay than what our friend Duncan Stewart had years ago with Nashville back in 88.
I know this is probably going to just sound really menial, but how big was it to the players that they were wearing the orange pants?
Well, I mean, I think you're looking for some kind of juice. Trey Smith talked about it yesterday. It's something that they wanted to do. He's always, liked the orange pants, wanted to wear them, but I think when you need a win and you're trying to get some things going, you're playing a noon game and you're trying to make sure your team's dialed in, ready to play, you do whatever you can. You know, when Tennessee wore black jerseys on Halloween, the Lane Kiffin year against South Carolina, those players to this day will tell you how big of a deal that was for them. So, was that the difference in winning and losing the game? I don't think so. Did it create that, and increase the hype a little bit with the players? Yeah, I mean, I think those guys enjoyed wearing those.
I guess lastly for me is that some of the coaches, I guess, changed from being in the booth to on the sideline. How much do you think that impacted the actual play and rotation of the players? I was reading about T. Martin and the receiver rotation. Saw Tyler Bird was out there a lot more than he played previously and some other receivers. How much do you think that impacted the actual game and rotation?
Well, I'm surprised they didn't make that move earlier, to be honest with you, because you had T. Martin as a passing game coordinator sitting beside Jim Chaney as the offensive coordinator and play caller. I was a little surprised that T went to the box to begin with. It does help with your receiver rotation. I think when you're playing that volume of players, that number of receivers, you want to be able to talk to those guys face-to-face. It's a lot easier to communicate with them as opposed to trying to get on the headset or put one of them individually on a headset to talk to an assistant coach in the box. They're only playing a couple of tight ends really in the game right now, so it makes sense that to get Brian Niedermeyer upstairs to help Jim Chaney with an extra set of eyes and get T. Martin in front of six or eight guys who are in a rotation, and it allows T to rotate guys in more effectively. So I think that helped. The week before, Chris Rump, who is the linebackers coach, went from upstairs to downstairs. I was surprised at the start of the year they didn't have the inside or outside linebackers coach on the field talking to those guys between series. And I think that's helped a little bit with the linebacker play the last couple of weeks, generate a little more play there because you've got a guy in between series who can talk specifically to a position group to discuss any adjustments that they need to make. So I think they like where they're at now. Probably took them longer to get there than it should have, but I think you'll continue to see those guys in the positions they are on the field and up in the booth the way they were this past week.
We're on Tennessee and Alabama coming out with Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com. We'll continue next. 8:29 the time, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Time for Mark to tell us a thing or two about Mortgage Investors Group, please.
Exactly, Kevin. And it's game time. Play the Mortgage Investors Group Top 15 College Pick'em. Go to GameOnMIG.com to win weekly prizes. and you'll have a chance to win the grand prize of an Xbox One S with Madden 20. Play this week to win a $50 Amazon gift card. Go to GameOnMIG.com to make your picks and win. You could win big. And Mortgage Investors Group wants to tell you, don't let your lender lose your loan in outer space. Keep your mortgage on the ground with Mortgage Investors Group. It's not rocket science. And MIG is celebrating being in business for 30 years. They're also the number one lender in the state of Tennessee, number one USDA Tennessee lender, and number one THDA lender. So let them put that experience to work for you. And as a first-time home buyer, applying for that first home loan can seem like a daunting task. I've been there. But don't worry, Mortgage Investors Group will be with you every step of the way. Let their experts help you get started on the path to home ownership. And I can tell you that from the perspective of not just an endorser, but a happy and satisfied customer. Or you can go to MIGonline.com for the office nearest you. Equal housing lender, license number 109111.
.45 The Zone. It is 8:36. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Continue our Wednesday morning chat with our friend Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com.
Yeah, and we got to pump VolQuest up a little bit. Great coverage of the University of Tennessee. They're a triple threat with their writing, with their roundtables, and their podcasts. Brent, one thing we didn't talk about with Maurer, if he does play, his decision-making has to get better. Those two end zone picks were horrific last Saturday against Mississippi State.
Well, I think, you know, he's got to grow as a quarterback in a lot of phases. Well, the first thing he's got to do is learn to slide so he can finish a game. You know, he cannot take unnecessary hits, and, you know, he's got to understand. Look, he gets it out of his hand well. He's got great velocity on the ball. He's got good accuracy. There's a lot of good things about it, so I don't want to suggest that there's not. But if he's going to finish the game, he's got to understand he's not high school. He can't take unnecessary hits. Get down when you need to get down. And then, as you mentioned, you know, decision-making in the red zone has got to improve. The first one to Juwan Jennings, he determined where he was going to throw the ball before it was ever snapped and had no idea what the coverage was over there. Didn't even look to read the coverage. It was catch, snap, throw. I'm throwing a fade to Jennings, and he got baited into the interception big time. The second one, yeah, he was dinged up at that point or whatever, but you don't throw back across your body into the middle of the field in the end zone and take points off the board. You just can't do those things. He's got to grow, and he's got to improve, and that's the, one of the things we talked about last week on the show was how much better would he be from week one to week two? How much better is he going to be this week against a better defense? And he's got to continue to grow moving forward if this team's going to grow offensively and have a chance to win some games down the stretch.
Yeah, how about Tyler Bird coming out of the mothballs? And you got to be happy for this guy. You know, he's been underutilized. He hasn't really complained about it. He's been good on special teams, blocked a punt. But, you know, we saw his skills. And what about what he did Saturday? And what about how they're going to use him moving forward?
Two head coaches, four offensive coordinators, four wide receiver coaches in 4 years at Tennessee for Tyler Bird. That's tough for anybody. It's really tough for a guy who came in as a defensive back and didn't really know how to play the wide receiver position. It's been hard for him to learn the spot. He has gotten buried. Everybody's, you know, knows he can run, but he's not been a very productive receiver, catching the ball with his hands and doing the wide receiver things. It's interesting to watch him on the practice field because he does work extremely hard. And you could sort of see T. Martin kind of, I don't want to say adopting him, but investing more time in him and trying to help him become a better player and really focus in on Tyler Bird, and it's paid off for him. I do think you'll see him more in the rotation, particularly now that Brandon Johnson is going to redshirt, and, of course, you got some other guys who have left the program, so the opportunities are there for him. He's got a limited skill set, what he can do. He's probably not going to beat you over the top and a lot of stuff and then have great size to play the jump ball game, but I think you can get it to him in space, and he's got a chance to make some people miss. Obviously, he got the open field last week and did some good things. Credit two freshmen throwing blocks down there as well. You got a group that it's hopefully for Tennessee, it's starting to become a little bit more than just Juwan Jennings. You're seeing some other guys emerge, and we'll see how Jim Chaney elects to use those guys in different ways going down the stretch of this football season. I do think you'll see Bird more.
And in addition, no Toa Toa for the first half. couldn't really complain a whole lot. That kind of looked like targeting.
Yeah, I think that one's on the teaching video that they give the and to Henry's credit, he came off to the sideline and he told Jeremy Pruitt, "Coach, I hit him high." And Coach Pruitt said, "You think? Yeah, you absolutely did." That one was definitely textbook. And tough for Tennessee, that defense missing him in the first half against Alabama. Look, he got a ton of challenges against this Alabama offense that's really, really good. Now you're asking Kavarius Crouch to play the inside linebacker position. I would think Steve Sarkisian is going to try to work the middle of the field and see if Crouch and Daniel Petula, who struggles some in pass coverage, can handle some of that crossing stuff that Alabama likes to do. It'll be a hard half for Crouch. I thought it was interesting. Petula yesterday was asked about him, how much his head must be swimming, and he said, "Look, all he's got to do is basically go where I tell him to go. I'll communicate it for him, make sure he understands things, and can get there." So I do think having Petula there will help him, but it'll be a real challenge athletically for him on Saturday.
Brent, I like just about everything I saw last week. I was surprised Chaney went so run heavy. I was calling it leather helmet football there in the second half. But, when you see what that offensive line can do in certain situations, not really expecting it this week, but has this team sort of changed your perception, maybe changed your outlook on them after that performance against Mississippi State?
Well, it offers hope. I mean, when you look at after this week, you look at the games left on the schedule, and you think, well, they've got a chance. The South Carolina game will obviously be a very important game and an opportunity game for Tennessee. How good is Carolina? They knock off Georgia, but they've had some warts. There was a lot of grumbling over there before that game took place. So that looks to be a pretty evenly matched type game. If this offensive line can continue to grow and Maurer grows, I think that's the thing you got to continue to look at is Brian Maurer's got to grow as well. Then I think the outlook for this team is better. Winning helps everything. It doesn't suddenly mean this team is great or definitely going to a bowl game. But what we said in the preseason about this team was, how much better do they get throughout the season? Now, nobody expected the start to be as ugly as it was in terms of record. But I do think you can look at this team and see some areas of improvement. And you've been able to see those areas for more than just last week. They were magnified last week against the Mississippi State team that I still don't know exactly what Joe Moorhead was doing in terms of his game plan. But I think you're seeing some individuals and some position groups getting better, and you expect that to continue down the stretch, which will give them a chance to win some games and create some excitement on the back half of the season.
Did they really quarantine Jay Shoup from practices so he wouldn't know what they were doing?
I don't know about quarantine, but I'm sure he was limited on some things in terms of what was going on. And, that's happened in different places before. He wasn't, blackballed, hey, you can't come to the complex, or you can't eat with your teammates, or you can't work out, or you can't come to the practice field. So, he knew some of the stuff going on, but there were probably some game plan discussions that took place that Jay probably wasn't fully aware of to know some of those things. Now, what's interesting is, he could have been in every meeting and wouldn't have known the second half game plan because that's not what Tennessee was trying to do. And I think that's one of the storylines that probably hasn't got talked about enough out of that win is the way Tennessee coached that game in the second half. They coached to win a low-scoring, ugly football game because of the hand they were dealt with the injury to Maurer. They wanted to change how they played offensively and defensively they were playing well. And I'll give the staff kudos for adjusting to playing to that team, what they were dealing with in that game, as opposed to saying, "Well, we're going to do our stuff because that's what we do." Sometimes you got to play the situation. And I thought this staff and Jeremy Pruitt played the situation better Saturday than they have any time since he's been the head coach at Tennessee, which I think is a positive moving forward.
Got the job done, Brent. Thanks so much. We always enjoy our time with you.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, from VolQuest.com, that's Brent Hubbs every Wednesday morning here on the Wake Up Zone. Tennessee and Alabama, 8 o'clock start, late start Saturday night with the Vol Network coverage. Coming up next, we'll visit with Titans on Lions' Jim Wyatt and talk about that transition that's taking place at the quarterback spot. More Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors after this.